Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
And we're going to begin with a pretty tough topic. Migraine. New research is out about the debilitating impact migraine disease can have on people. I'm not allowed to say migraines. So it's migraine disease or migraine. It shows that more than a quarter of people living with migraine in New Zealand have missed school or work for more than 5 days over a 3 month period because of it. One person surveyed said people don't understand the excruciating pain and think it's just a headache. I've pondered if I could just cut my own head off to make it stop. And there's very limited financial support available to many of those who meet the criteria for severe disability. To discuss this further, lead researcher Dr. Fiona Imlach, Senior Research Fellow at the Otago University's Department of Public Health and also co-founder of the Migraine Foundation. Fiona, hello.
Kia ora.
Nice to talk to you. And what was the purpose of this research? What did you set out to look at?
Well, we did this in my role as the Migraine Foundation co-founder. So we started up this foundation in 2022 because the three of us who have migraine got together and we realised that this is a really common condition. About 642,000, it's estimated, people in New Zealand have migraine disease, which is, you know, 1 in 7. It's huge. And from overseas literature and from kind of this global burden of disease study, they estimate that migraine is the second highest cause of years lived with disability in the world. And it's like, well, why is there no research about this in New Zealand? Why is there no advocacy group? Why is no one talking about it in New Zealand? So we set up the foundation to kind of fill that need. And the first thing really we came across is like, we don't know what it's like for people with migraine in New Zealand. And so that's why we did this survey. We wanted to collect some information. And one of the motivations for that really was the fact that New Zealand is really lagging behind in terms of access to the new treatments that there are now for migraine. And so we wanted to advocate to get these treatments funded. We put an application into PharmAc. We knew that PharmAc would need to have New Zealand-specific information about the impact and the need and the burden of migraine. So that was what we were trying to do with this survey.
Do you just happen to be someone, Fiona, who suffers from migraine but also has the ability to do some research on it and create a bit of change and some real sort of evidence-based stuff?
Yes, that's right. Yes, so I had chronic migraine. I had migraine since I was a child. It only really became chronic in my 20s. So by chronic, that is like the probably like 7 to 10% of people with migraine who have headache on 15 days or more in a month. And that's like 1 to 2% of the population. It's actually quite common. Don't hear about it very much though, do you? So I had chronic migraine and I didn't talk about it because I felt kind of embarrassed or ashamed, or that, you know, people would look at me funny if you say you've got such a bad, you know, condition, but you don't, you look fine, you go to work, you do your job. There's a lot of stigma around migraine. That was another thing we were trying to highlight. So yes, I was in a unique position where I have chronic migraine. I do research and I chose research as my career. I trained in medicine, but I really couldn't cope with the stresses of practicing clinically with the condition that I had. Research allows more flexibility,
gosh,
so that suits me better.
Yeah, that's serious. And so I was going to ask you actually if that had influenced your choice of career. The fact you got migraines had made you more interested in doing research, but actually it's influenced it in a different way, which is that you felt like one aspect or one sort of whole avenue was closed down for you because of the impact that migraine,
yes,
had.
Yeah, absolutely. I sort of think, you know, nobody really knows why somebody, you know, gets chronic migraines. So most people start out with, you know, you have a few attacks and then they just ramp up and then they become really frequent. No one understands exactly why or can predict why that happens, but there are some theories. And one of this is kind of stress or sleep disorders, mood disorders, or the migraine not being well managed. So if you don't treat them very well, if you don't get preventive medicines, then they can develop to chronic. I had this theory that, like, I was working as a junior doctor, really long hours, 70 hours more a week, totally sleep deprived. And it seems like sometimes those sort of chronic stresses can turn that switch on. I had the migraine tendency. I've got a genetic tendency for that. It runs in the family, and that's what happens with migraine. But something turned that switch on for me, and it could have been that kind of period of stress that turned it on for me, and then it became just sort of out of control.
People will be noticing, and I just blurted it out, that you're not meant to say migraines. Use singulars,
no.
But it kind of sounds funny to the ear. What's the thinking behind that?
The thinking behind that is like this shift in understanding, really foundational, that migraine is a neurological condition. And I talk about it as like epilepsy. And so we say people have epilepsy. We don't say they have epilepsies. It's a disease of the brain that is there all the time. And it manifests for migraine. It manifests in having migraine attacks. Epilepsy manifests in seizures. So that's where that language comes from. We're trying to get people to understand that it's not just one-off things, it's not something that you can cure. This is a chronic lifelong condition that waxes and wanes, and then a lot of people, once they get older, it may wane off, especially in women post-menopause, it may die off, but you've always got that tendency there in the brain to have these attacks.
And your research showed that it really is having an impact, this idea of more than 5 days off work over a three-month period because of it.
Yeah, so half of our respondents reported a severe kind of migraine disability. So we asked them questions about, you know, how many days in the last 3 months have you not been able to work, not been able to do household jobs, not been able to, you know, spend time with your family, do your social activities. And to classify as severe in that scale that we asked about, you had to have 21 days or more in the 3 months that you couldn't do activities that you wanted to do. So that's basically 1 week out of every month. Now that's pretty impactful.
How did you do this research, by the way?
We did an online survey. So we just started up our foundation then, and we had a Facebook group and online social media. So we put it out through our networks. We partnered with people like the Neurological Foundation and Healthify and some other networks, and just pushed it out online as much as we could. So it's not representative, and we really need more research on Māori and Pacific because we didn't manage to capture them. That's not a good way to get research on those groups. But it was a good start, and it was the first time people with migraine had been surveyed in New Zealand, so we got something.
Someone listening sent me a text. They get cluster headaches. Is that part of the migraine experience?
It's part of this, what we call primary headaches, so the type of headache that starts in the brain. Cluster headache is much less common than migraine, fortunately. It's described as like the most severe kind of head pain that you could experience. But it's related. It has some of the same features and some of the same treatments as well. So cluster headache, actually, and migraine, both of them can be treated with one of these new medications that we don't have in New Zealand. So if we could get this into New Zealand and funded, that would help people with cluster as well.
Did anything surprise you about your findings, or did you pretty much discover what you set out to discover?
I think what surprised me was actually when we asked about stigma, the level of stigma that people reported. So more than half of people said that they hid or minimised their migraine symptoms because they were afraid of being judged or misunderstood. And in the workplace, 40% of people said that they felt like they were always or often judged because of their migraine in the workplace. So that speaks to me as like there's a lot to do there around understanding what migraine is, kind of in the workplace, having more conversations about what can we do to support people rather than sort of judge and penalise and shame people for having a condition that is not their fault. It's a genetic thing.
Do people get shamed for having a migraine, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could tell you some stories. But yes, I think it's because it's invisible. It's not like you can do an MRI or take a blood test or do a swab and say, oh, you've got migraine. It's a clinical diagnosis based on people's symptoms. And so it's self-reported, basically. And there has been a tendency, and I'm sure you'll be aware of this, is like diseases which affect women more than men, and migraine affects 2 to 3 times more women than men, tend to have had this history of being not believed and not taken seriously. And that is definitely the case for migraine. And it could explain, I'm sure it does explain, why migraine research has not been well-funded and well-researched.
Is the headache the worst way in which it manifests? Is it the primary way, or what else comes with it when you have migraine?
Definitely the headache's severe. So the severity of the headache can distinguish it from other types of headache, like tension-type headache. So a tension-type headache, you could take a Panadol and you might be fine. That's not going to work for a migraine. It's way more on the severe end. It lasts longer. It can last up to 72 hours or even longer. There's, you know, the other things about the pain is... It can be also so the thing about migraine, it's not just the pain, it's actually the other symptoms associated with it. So to be diagnosed with migraine, you have these kind of classical pain features, plus you have to have either nausea and vomiting associated with the pain or sensitivity to light and sound. So that is kind of an indication that it's something happening in the brain. The brain's not processing signals coming from the outside world very well. There's some sort of dysfunction there, and that's manifest in these sensitivities.
Why? Why do people get them?
Well, like I said, it's genetic. We don't really understand why some people get it worse than others. Mm. It's just the thing that's been really exciting, though, in the last 20 years is they've identified this particular neurotransmitter in the brain, which is involved in setting off an attack. And so these new medications target that neurotransmitter. It's the first time we've had any kind of medication that can prevent migraine that actually targets the thing in the brain that's setting it off. And so that's something that's been really exciting about, you know, what causes migraine attacks. We still don't understand why the brain kind of gets upset and sensitive and you know, sends these attacks to people, but we're getting closer.
Yeah, keen to hear about those medications. Just want to note, one of our listeners, Jim, says his migraine disease came and went, and it seemed to be depending on where he was living, and someone suggested that he was in central Otago at the time, and the light was very bright and he should wear sunglasses more often. He says miraculously the migraines disappeared. He didn't get migraines overseas because the light isn't so bright over there. Have you ever heard anything like that, that it might be triggered by bright light?
Oh, absolutely. And there is a treatment. There is a special sort of sunglass or glass that you can wear that will filter out the light that is involved in triggering migraines. So, yes, that is actually a type of treatment that you can use. The other thing about where you live, it can, you know, weather changes. Some people find that that can be a trigger for different migraine attacks. Air pollution potentially can trigger migraine attacks. So there's lots of different kind of environmental factors that can influence that. And then talking about that female-male difference, one of the biggest sort of triggers for migraine is female hormones. So women often get migraine around the time of their period, and then they often find that when they get pregnant, the migraine gets better, and then at menopause, it often declines. Mm. So there's definitely something around that female hormones and interacting with the brain that we don't really understand, but there's something there.
And sorry, just one more question from a listener text, which is that they say that since they were diagnosed with gluten intolerance and went on a gluten-free diet, their migraines have diminished enormously. It just seems like there might be some kind of little lifestyle things you can tinker with that may mean that you suffer less frequently.
Yeah, and that's the thing with migraine, that everybody experiences attacks differently and everybody has different triggers. So like we found in the research, people were trying so many different things, trying to find the cure, trying to find the thing that would work for them. And you end up trying everything. I mean, I don't know how many drugs I've tried. I'd say maybe 15, another like dozen type of supplements. I've tried kind of every complementary therapy under sun. I've tried gluten-free, dairy-free, sugar-free, but for me, actually, none of that really helped. But having this medication which targeted that neurotransmitter in the brain, that was the thing that got me out of my chronic migraine. And so that has been a treatment that has worked really, really well for a lot of people, and we really want to get that sort of treatment available to people in New Zealand.
Yeah, so tell us about it. It seems like a real breakthrough.
It is a real breakthrough. It's been first approved by the FDA, I think the first one in 2018-19, and since then there's kind of four of these particular drugs that target that neurotransmitter available worldwide. In New Zealand, there's two available. Neither of them are funded. The cheapest one is $320, so around about per month. That's in as a monthly injection. And so that's really, you know, some of us can scrape together and pull that money in and afford to try it. But a lot of people, that's just not out of reach. And especially people from our survey who had chronic migraine, so debilitated they couldn't work, they're not going to be able to afford $300 a week on a treatment that potentially could get them back to work.
How life-changing has it been for people who've tried the drug and had some success?
Well, there was one story I got from a lady when we were collecting stories for PharmAct to, you know, talk about the impact it was having on people. She was 74 years old. She had had migraines since she was a child, and she managed to, you know, get some money together and try this new drug. And she said, "This is the first time in my life I've been free of pain."
Gosh.
And it was absolutely amazing. But the thing is, her husband in his 70s, bless him, he had to go back to work so that they could afford for her to continue on this. So this has a drug that has the potential to make a significant difference to these people who are really disabled.
We spoke to PharmAct. We got a statement from PharmAct. They say they're currently assessing a number of applications for medicines for migraines. The advisory committee, their advisory committee, has recommended funding these treatments. So the next step is to complete the assessment, prioritise these proposals, and then they've got to get the funding, basically. The list,
basically, yeah.
Prioritise these proposals on our options for investment list, yes. The list of medicines we'd like to fund when we have available budget. So it sounds like, yes, it's in train anyway.
It is in train. So we put in one of those applications and we presented to the Neurological Advisory Committee to talk about our research, and really happy to see that they recommend all three of those as high priority. But I would be very surprised if PharmAct, you know, disagrees with the advisory committee, because that was a very strong recommendation. But the problem, as you say, they'll go on this options for investment list. There's already over 100 drugs on this list. So they'll just sit there waiting until some more budget comes in. So that's not PharmAct's problem. That's actually a problem with the government not allocating sufficient funding to cover all these medicines, which we know are effective. And this is not just a problem for migraine. It's a problem for so many people with conditions that have these effective treatments that have been approved, that you know they work, but they just don't have the budget to fund them.
Good to talk to you. Well done on this research, and keep us posted.
Thanks very much.
Dr. Fiona Imlach on some research and what she hopes it will achieve for people who have migraine.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.